just the exact line to line, you can see that, let's see, I'll get to the right. For this project, line 10 on page 25, the property being eligible for income tax credits under section 42 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. That's section 42 that we're talking about. So they identify it there, and then on page 19, for purposes of this subsection, the term income-based approach shall include the use of the direct cap methodology computed by dividing the net operating income of the parcel by an appropriate cap rate not to exceed the average for the current market data available in the county of said parcel of property. What the bill says is essentially use the actual NOI and divide it by market cap rate. What the commission's done in their decisions, they've looked at a history for the property. They've looked at the property itself to see what the parameters are of who it is serving and what the percentage is of below the median income that it's serving, which actually dictates the rent. So in following the commission's guideline, then they will take it one step further, and instead of just using what would in our instance be an NOI of $124,000, they're gonna temper that with the last 3 years of income and expense to make their determination. And then through the rest of the bill.
So what we're looking at is going to an income-based approach on this low-income apartment segment as well.
Yes, sir.
And the current valuation is $4,141,649. And we have an income valuation of $1,700.
Based on the 16, 15, and 14 actual income and expense for the effective date of 1/1/17, there was something that was said earlier that I got to be honest with you, I'm a little confused by, and that was the value has to stay the same if the commission rules. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not going to tell you exactly how that rules, but my understanding of it is that's just for the following tax year, the even year that follows. It's not for the next reassessment cycle. So, in other words, whatever happens with our state tax commission case in 2015, you understand the same way?
Yeah.
Whatever happens in 15 is completely irrelevant to the value as of 1/1/17. That's how the commission has ruled, in my understanding, in the past.
I will add to that, though. We did have a particular case of five motel owners, and they brought their property. They went to the state tax commission. A former assessor increased that next year. They went back to the state tax commission. After several years of this, they all went to circuit court. Several of these property owners ended up dropping out and leaving the area because they couldn't keep up paying the bills for the attorneys and going to the state tax commission. Wherein comes your issue of once the state tax commission makes the decision, unless there's a change in the property, you just don't automatically increase it. You have to have a reason. Where you've gone out, there's been building, or you see that the
And that's in the even year, correct? I know I've got an option.
Whatever year that the state tax commission makes, which they may not make it if it's this year, 2017, mm-hmm. 17 and 18 has to stay the same.
Yes.
And Chuck and I work really hard on that to try and make sure that it happens. Not
right.
That sometimes it hasn't slipped through, but we work hard to try and make sure it doesn't change.
Right.
And then the following year, going into 19, if Chuck sees a change, he can go ahead and make the change.
I have an office building that I represent, and the commission ruled a value of $10 million in 14 and $4.5 million in, let's see, $10 million in, check that, 13, $4.5 million in 15. So in that cycle, they have two different values, and that's the way that it's supposed to be, but each year following, the value stays the same, just as you'd said.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, for whatever that's worth. So yes, I provided the income approach to value based on 3 years of income and expense on the effective date of 1/1/16, and all the backup, gentlemen, is there. If you want to look at any of the income and expense, have any questions about the income and expense, we can certainly answer those.
Is this something put together by the owner of the property, all of this data? This is not.
That's correct.
You don't have an appraiser that's done an income approach on
this. There isn't this case is pending state tax commission in 2015 as well. And yes, we have an appraisal that I think maybe even has been exchanged. Does that sound right to you? I don't know for sure. Anyway, but I didn't bring it because it's an effective date of 1/1/15, so right. It's completely irrelevant to what we're talking about as to 1/1/17.
But you've still got that one under appeal right now with the state tax.
It is in 15, yes.
Yeah. And am I right on that, Ray? They have to appeal again for 17.
That's right. That's why you're here.
Or they could rule on 15 at
$1 million.
It won't
make any difference whatsoever to 2017.
Right.
Has absolutely no impact on it, as I understand it.
That's the way
I'm going to look at it. He's going to look at what the state tax commission ruled to see if there's been any change since then.
Right, but the 15 value, when they do set it, doesn't necessarily mean it's the 17 value.
I don't think it's got any bearing.
Right.
So that's why
you appeal again here today.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
That's right.
But to clarify that, Chuck, because I've been through this too, you still have to look at what was 16 at your start, and you don't revert back to 2014. You begin looking at that value set by the state tax commission, and you move from that value forward. In other words, just to give you an example, we had one person set it at $10 million. State Tax Commission took it back down to $6.4 million. Then back in 17 came back and put it at $10 million, despite the fact that it had been down to $6.4 million, no changes in 17. But he took it back up to his original assessment because he didn't like anybody telling him what to do, just to be plain and simple. So when you look at it, you need to start at your 6.7 value and then determine if the value has increased. So I know we have to do that.
And am I correct that you have a right at the time of making that assessment to request income figures from the last 2 years from the taxpayer?
Yeah, I mean that's what Dan was saying. Is it says, and I looked at that and I didn't see the detail that Dan mentioned a minute ago, but we're to use the income. My argument is, I don't read in there that they have to provide it. But
you're right. And with respect to Dan, some of what he says I think may apply to Kansas, not Missouri. There's no statute that I am aware of that requires taxpayers to provide the information. Chuck can ask for it. Taxpayers should provide it when they do. If they don't, that's their option, I suppose. But certainly in an instance like this, I know this one, I want you to have it.
Well, to give you
more history on that, when this first came up, this law, when the DOE was making their decision, it had, we were told by the taxpayer that it had already gone into effect. Well, it didn't. It originally had an emergency clause in it, mm-hmm. but they took the emergency clause out. You're aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
But that taxpayer used that in his argument that it had an emergency clause in, and so the DOE took a spreadsheet presented with no other evidence but that spreadsheet and made a decision to accept the spreadsheet. And that's why, excuse me, I suggest you send this data to the State Tax Commission because they rely totally on evidence. It is not hearsay or what a spreadsheet says. They have to see the income approach and you have to provide it at that point. We can't make it.
Okay. Again, are you saying that basically the State Tax Commission at this point is saying that any kind of commercial property, if this statute applies, you're basically saying that every kind of commercial property has to have an income approach, and those all have to go to the Tax Commission?
Not all people use an income approach.
Just the Section 42 stuff.
Okay. Just that Section 42.
It's not my understanding that the Commission wants us to file all of these on there to them, too.
No.
I'm sure Maureen doesn't want us to do that, as a matter of fact.
No.
If I could speak for her. But this is the only type of commercial real estate that I'm aware of that requires the income approach primarily to be used. The rest of it's up to the discretion of the commission. The hearing officer can make a decision if you're in hearing as to which one is the most relevant to the property.
Right.
But for Section 42, the statute lays it out and says use the actual income and a market cap rate is what it says.
Well, I think I follow what you did here. I mean, that's not to me, the issue is, does the state really want us at this level making this decision? And that's my question, I guess.
If we have evidence before us that gives us a value that is accurate, I realize it's not an official appraisal. This does, I mean, you obviously know your numbers, this is, and it's a new thing for these to be Section 42 houses or apartments, developments, to go on an income approach. That would make a change in the valuations, being from the traditional sense of being a $4 million property to a 1.7.
Jeff, if I might, or go ahead, Dave.
I would make a motion just to table this until we can get a hold of the tax commission. That would be my preference. I want to do our job here for citizens of Taney County, but I feel like that this statute is new enough that we're going to have this come up, and we just had it before that.
We got quite a few more here because you're...
I have one more that's similar, yes, just one.
And that data that you have with you as well?
Yes, sir.
The same kind of package here?
Same kind of package, yep.
Oh, you only have one more?
That's Ray Browning? That's a Section 42 or a tax credit project.
Okay, then you have another one that's...
And then we got a retail center.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be hanging out with you for a little bit, huh? Okay.
Which property?
This is Ridgecrest. Right.
So we have a motion on the table to table 2017-13, which would be the Featherstone, the apartments at 973 Featherstone.
I think we did it for the last one, so I think we do it.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
Who seconded that?
I did.
Joe, second the motion.
Did you say you had tried to reach somebody up there?
I emailed. I can try calling over.
And as we're waiting to hear back, moving on to 2017-15 KRG Branson Hills.
Do you all want to, not to take you out of order here, but do you want to do the other Section 42 tax credit project and get it behind us before we...
Where is it?
It is 18-1024-1201 at 407 Judy.
Table Rock Heights, Part
2017-17. Thank you.
If I can interrupt.
I appreciate you doing that.
Table Rock Heights Apartments.
Yeah, 2017-17.
Correct.
All right, hearing 2017-17.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. The same song and dance here, folks.
Thank you, Ray.
This is a little different.
Well, do we want to table this? How different is this?
I probably better show you one thing that is a little different and why it's different, if it's okay. This isn't the same program as Section 42. This is FMHA 515, which is now Rural Development 515. It is also included in the statute. It's instead of them issuing tax credits in exchange for developing the property and renting it to those that qualify that are below the income of the community, they get a 1% loan. If from the federal government, from the Department of Agriculture.
Is that statute included in the materials from the